You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kila Wea. This is Pilikia or Pono. It's made possible by KKCR's sustaining members in partnership with the Healthy Hut and Hawaiian Music Store.
Healthy Hut Market and Cafe, now right off the highway in the old school building in Kilauea. Organic and natural groceries, produce, raw foods, beer and wine, fresh hot meals, smoothies, juices and coffees, and locally made products. Healthy Hut, a family-owned business, supports KKCR.
HawaiianMusicStore.com, sharing aloha worldwide through Hawaiian music. Offering a comprehensive collection of CDs, DVDs, new releases, and old classics since 1997. For inquiries, email hawaiianmusicstore@gmail.com. Mahalo nui loa for supporting Hawaiian music artists. hawaiianmusicstore.com.
Mahalo for supporting KKCR.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its management, staff, or underwriters.
Good morning. Aloha kakahiaka. It's a rainy morning on the North Shore. It's been a rainy morning, but things are growing, things are green, and it's a good day to be in Hawaiʻi. This is Makaʻala, and this is Pilikia Opono, a conversation with Mauna Kea Trask, trying to align historical fact and with today's situations, also providing for you all of the references. So read for yourself, do the work, and they're all on kkcr.org. We've provided quite a list of references there, and I think that almost anyone would find that list useful. So good morning, Mauna Kea. Are you with us?
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Good morning. You have a busy day ahead, and so today you're calling in. We do know that you are a working fella, so we appreciate you taking this time, and 7 a.m. is good for us. Well, better for some of us than others, but good for us. And for Mauna Kea, this is not early, folks. He has a bad habit of calling me at 5, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm up. Good morning, Mauna. So, what is on the agenda today?
Well, I appreciate you giving me the perception like I have a choice, because you wanted to talk about Kapa'akai, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. No. I'm just fooling people, right? Did I, in fact, tell him what to talk about? Of course I did. That's what I do. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Kapa'akai. If any of you are of an age, such as moi, these laws have come to us as a result of action. Some action from the people, some action from the courts, some action from practices. But they're not. It's interesting to me, Mauna, that the laws, I'm going to say these laws are contemporary laws. They're laws that we have today that haven't been in place that long, but they're all based on the laws that existed when the kingdom was in force, correct?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, they existed, then they unexisted, and then as you know, during the Hawaiian Renaissance in 1978, your generation revitalized a lot of them, essentially brought them back and codified them. So what we're talking about today, Kapa'akai and what it does, which is give guidance to the government to enact and enforce Article 12, Section 7 of the Hawaii State Constitution, was from the 1978 Concon, you know, which was
The Constitutional Convention that we all call CONCON, because those two words are big. Constitutional Convention was convened, and that's a time when you can review the essential laws, the base laws of a country, of a nation, of a state. And we did it because there was a lot of stuff that needed to be rejuvenated, needed to be repaired, that needed to be that needed to be re-examined and just made sure that this was going to work for contemporary times. Times were changing and stuff was happening, and we knew what the old laws said we should do, but we really didn't have something to fall back on when we said it. So putting it, discussing it in the Constitutional Convention was the procedure. Now, folks, I want you to know, whenever you do that kind of thing, you take a huge risk. The risk is what other changes might occur. So it's risky, even if you think you know the path ahead, and even if you think you're comfortable with the pending conversation and work, you can never be certain. Opening the Constitution up is not a simple matter, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. So every time I hear somebody say, oh, we should have another con-con, think that through, please. It's the same thing that people say to me about current laws. For example, the sign ordinance. They'll say, well, you know, we should reopen the sign rules so that, you know, da-da. I said, well, be careful, because you might lose more than you gain. You might make things worse rather than better. Essentially, that Constitutional Convention went rather well, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I would say yes. You know, you had the Hawaiian Renaissance inspired by the Civil Rights Movement. You had, I mean, you mentioned do your homework, right? That was the famous refrain of George Helm,
mm-hmm.
who was a big mover at the time. Emmett Aluli, John Osorio, Hanani Kei, Mililani Trask. I mean, that was your guys' movement, and it did a lot of good, arguably, for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, and we took a risk, but it had to be done. It had to be done, and it was the time. Everybody was tuned in. Everybody was paying attention. People were starting to say, you know what, we have a constitution. So Kapa'akai is a tool, it's a process, and it's a tool for us. Everybody should know what it is, and everybody can use it. Everybody can use it. You can yell Kapa'akai at the top of your lungs at Planning Commission. This is a good thing, folks. So let's talk a little bit about what it is and what it does.
Yeah, so, let's see.
Where to begin?
It's always good. Like you said, let's start with the facts, right? So let's start with the facts.
What a concept.
So Kapa'akai was a case. It came out in the 2000s. And it arose out real briefly about an issue from 1993 where a commercial lessee of Bishop Kamehameha Schools, Bishop Estate, leased about 1,000 acres in Kaupolehu Kona. That was districted state land use conservation district. And basically what they wanted to do was redistrict it. So they went to the Land Use Commission to change it from conservation to urban. And it was a 65-acre portion of land previously classified an urban district in 1979. And there was all, you know, it was just a development. Let's see, I don't want to get too far into it. I'll get lost in the details. But they went to go redistrict it, and a group called Kapa'akai, the full name was Kapa'akai Okaina, an association of Kalahui, a Hawaiian nation. So this is close to my heart, right? Hanane Kei Mililani started Kalahui, Association of Civic Clubs, and various other nonprofits to petition to intervene and fight the development. A lot of the Native Hawaiian precedent involves instances where you fight development. So basically, long story short, was Kapa'akai provides an analytical framework that gives guidance to state and county agencies to fulfill its affirmative duty under the Hawaii State Constitution, and that's Article 12, Section 7, to protect all rights customarily and traditionally exercised for subsistence, cultural, and religious purposes, and possessed by Ahupua'a native tenants, who are descendants of native Hawaiians who inhabited the Hawaiian Islands prior to 1778, subject to the right of the state to regulate such rights.
Now, in Ka'upulehu, at the time and continuing today, there are Hawaiians who have lived there for a very long time and continue to live there. A very good friend of mine lives there. And it's an interesting place, you know. It's a lot of lava, and, you know, it's North Kona. It's an interesting place. And there's this big resort, which was, I think, some of the subject of this, and they sort of carved out a little place, and it's gated, and it's very exclusive, and I won't name it. And recently, so what I want to make the point right here is that recently, I mean within the last 10 years, there has been an effort there to manage their marine resources, and they launched a campaign called Try Wait. And they literally said, in this place, this bay, which is right off the resort, which makes it a whole lot of fun to do, don't do anything. Don't fish for anything. Absolutely stop. And you should see the fish. You should see the limu. You should see the reef. It is spectacular. They are not saying, and they never said, that that was going to go on forever. But a 5-year try wait, holy smoke, it really brought it back. And what happens when you bring it back is that people get, wow, this is what it should have looked like before we started flipping our flippers and shooting our spear guns. Yeah, that's what it looked like. And so now they can launch into a civil discussion, and a logical one, about how those marine resources should be used. But they used Kapa'akai to say, we are the people of this place. In fact, we are still here, and we use this place in our practice. We use this place to survive, and it's all gem up, and we are willing, first of all, we are willing to sacrifice and say we will not take. We will not bother, and we will not take for 5 years, and we ask you to do the same. So, to me, that's the extreme application of Kapa'akai. But it was for a limited period of time. This is at the base of Hualalai, and it's an extraordinary place. It's the exact polar opposite of North Shore Kauai. It's black lava and dry, and it's really different. And the first time I went there, I went, what resources were you trying to protect? I mean, this place is barren. Well, it's not at all, of course. You just got to, you know what to look for. Sorry. So I just happen to love Ka'upulehu and the people from there. And I'm so dying to say her name, and I won't. But one of our compadre warrior women that came from that heritage of Mililani, etc. So anyway, to her, in her honor, in her nameless honor. So Kapa'akai says what? It says that, do you have to be a person of that place to make the argument?
Okay, so let me just acknowledge my brothers and sisters in Big Island too, whom I love dearly.
Yeah.
Although they are critical of the color of our salt.
Yes.
And,
and it's the fact red, that Kauai, you know.
All the ranchers up there go, hey, how come on Top Kauai, you guys always, you're the guys who mow your pastures. To which I plead the fifth. But, so Kapa'akai, so again, if you look at this, the law and how, you know, you can write anything down, right? The question is, how do you effectuate it? How do you implement it? And the thing about Article 12, Section 7 is there's two competing principles. So first, the state is obligated to protect the reasonable exercise of customarily and traditionally exercised rights of Native Hawaiians. But the second, is the state is authorized to impose appropriate regulations to govern the exercise of Native Hawaiian rights. And these are, so you have to ensure them, but also you can regulate them. And that's not a foreign concept. That's not a modern concept. Like you said about how, you know, it's essentially the kapu system. So people have the right to subsistence living. They can fish. They can exercise their rights. But the state now, as the kingdom could and all ali'i prior in Konohiki, you can regulate it, right? You can, it's not unfettered, because if you do, you'll lose a resource. I think, you know, people like to often say that Native Hawaiians are somehow innately environmental, or, you know, like they're more mythical than actual. And that's not, I mean, it's plainly not true. We all know, we all have ohana that, I mean, the birds and reasonable fishing amounts are low priority. And it's just what it is. So how do you regulate that? And Kapa'akai provides a framework to do that. And so essentially, and it's not new, the case came out in 2000, but government had been doing it for a while. It just wasn't, it was a question, and it wasn't consistent. So what Kapa'akai says is, at the minimum, state or county agency is required to make specific findings. Three findings. First, the identity and scope of traditional resources and customary rights in the impacted area. Second, the extent to which those rights and resources would be affected or impaired by the proposed action. And finally, third, the feasible action, if any, to be taken by the body to reasonably protect Native Hawaiian rights if they are found to exist. So that's it. It's just a framework. So you identify and the scope, figure out if they'll be affected or impaired, and if so, what feasible action, if any, can you do to reasonably protect them?
Do people have to, if they're going to claim or request or demand Kapa'akai analysis, do they have to show that they themselves, the person asking for it, has a connection to that place that's being considered?
Well, they have to show, they have to identify the scope of traditional and customary resources.
So what was going on there? But they don't have to say who did it?
Well, they have to show that they do it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, that's key here. Let's not lose that. That's key here. You can't claim on behalf of the guy next door, that other guy. You know, I saw him, he used to. That's not, Kapa'akai is personal.
Well, it's kind of both. So what it is like, okay, so take, I'll contextualize it. So you have a development, a coastal development, right? And it's right there on the coast. It's barren rock. And you go in there and you want to do, you build something. And so what you do is you go around and you do your public outreach and you do your studies, and the archaeologists look at the record, and there's no heiau there. There's a tradition of subsistence fishing, right? And so then they go out and they speak with, Hawaiians in the area, lineal culture descendants of the area. They scour the record of burial council and they figure out who's there. And a lot of these people are known. I mean, they've been active for a long time, for decades. And some of these people say, yeah, I've been fishing here my whole life. My kupuna taught me. I can establish traditional customary, I'm associated with this place. And they can otherwise show it via kama'aina testimony. Usually it's kama'aina testimony. And so therefore you identify, okay, so there are subsistence fishing going on here. And then what you do is you figure out, well, how can you, the extent to which the development would affect those rights. And so say if you totally develop it, you would, in effect, prohibit access to the coast. Okay, so how do you protect that? Well, you provide access, right? You do a public easement, maybe a parking lot, whatever you got to do, to allow people to continue their traditional customary practices. And so maybe you have a coastal lateral access easement, some kind of open space easement, whatever you got to do. And you do that. that is basically the process for Kapaa Kai.
So is there an example here on Kauai that people might know? I mean, I know we did Kapaa Kai in Kilauea and a couple of places. By the lighthouse, and we did one when some of us, myself included, said that we had knowledge, no evidence, but knowledge of a birthing stone on a piece of property. I know that that called for a Kapaa Kai, and I know that and the person who did it for the client was our now BLNR chair, Don Chang, and she investigated the claims and did the best she could to determine whether that stone still existed, and I think discovered that it if it was there, it's not there now, although many of us remember when it was, without having the physical evidence of it being there. At least the practice could be described.
Yeah, the one I always like to point to, and in full disclosure, they are my client and have appeared numerous times in front of the Planning Commission on their behalf, but it's Makuena Point.
Yeah.
So on the south side between Brennakees and Shipwrecks, there's Makuena Point. Originally, it was the Coast Guard Loran Station, thereafter Haleopio up until Iwa. Then it kind of just got blown away. And what happened was the Alaska Natives, Cook Inlet Island Region Corporation, CLDC, they, part of their native settlement claims with the federal government, they were able to acquire that federal lot. And they subdivided it, and they went through the entitlement process. And through that, they identified that although there were no traditional customary resources, whether religious or otherwise, there was fishing going on. And OPE and all the kinds of stuff that the Hawaiians on the south side do. And so as part of the subdivision entitlement process, the county exacted a portion of, it's a 10-lot subdivision. It was down zoned from 25 to 10. And the parking lot for public access and the public access and open space easement encumbers 9 of the 10 lots. So all the coastal lots, you actually can walk over right now, and there's a rock wall delineating the extent of the shoreline. And Makaya, that is public space. You can walk it, take in nature, do what you want. But that was really for fishing and subsistence practice. And it's an amenity. It's a great thing. The developer likes it. And that's a good example of how this works. Now, a Kapaa Kai analysis, again, it does not stop development. And so if you go to a planning commission or LUC or wherever, and you're screaming Kapaa Kai to cease development, you're going to be disappointed, because the point is not to stop it. The point is to see how you can protect and preserve and balance it reasonably.
And from my cheap seats, the point is usually access. The point is, don't shut us out. Don't gate us out. If there was a practice for this, Makuena is a very good example, because the coastline was the thing. Just getting there was the problem. So so Kapaa Kai is valuable to me as an educational tool as well, because if it's done well, and they're not all done well, but if it's done well, it does do the research to say what occurred there, what may be occurring there or not, and what could occur there. So as we all feel a little squeezed out, of our coastal places by homes and fences and gates and stuff, Kapaa Kai at least gives you a path. Where I'm personally not interested in being in your property. I don't want to walk across your lawn. I just want a way to get to what our family traditionally needed for survival. And even if that's a day, me now as Kupuna, to sit on the beach and watch the keiki fish and watch the keiki play, that's fine. I don't have to be the one throwing the net anymore, which is a good thing. I want people to understand that when I scream, and I do scream Kapaa Kai, it's first to gather information. It's because I'm, if I was very, very clear, and I seldom am, very, very clear about who did what in that spot, because I wasn't born here, I was born in Kaneohe. So, you know, I may not have any information, but I'm willing to bet that the resources there were critically important, vital to the people. So I scream Kapa'akai to first find out what was going on there, find out who did it, and work with the developer to retain access, right? That's the idea, so that you can get there.
Yeah, and you know, that it's, there's a fundamental principle with all this, the Hawaiian precedent, Native Hawaiian precedent, what protects our traditional customary rights. Inherent in it is the spirit of cooperation and, you know, working with collectively together. That's the goal. And sometimes I think that, that it's more adversarial. And it is what it is. I mean, I don't think anyone, I'm definitely not going to come here today and say, you know, work with me, although I'd like everyone to. But I think a lot of it is people get disappointed when development isn't stopped or, you know,
I agree. I agree. I scream Kapa'akai because it gives me a way to stop. Stop right now. Let's look at what this is. Have you done this? Have you done that? That's what it is, right? And I don't want to fight. I want to win. I don't want to fight. I want to have the full process, right? So Kapa'akai is a process. It's not an end. It's not a solution necessarily. It's a process to get to an agreement, right? I've never seen, maybe you have, I've never seen Kapa'akai stop development. I haven't seen it. I'm sure I haven't seen them all, but I haven't seen it happen. And I've never asked for that.
Totally. And you know, you say, like anything, I mean, my chaotic, fractal-oriented brain is jumping all over the place right now. But like, you know, the best way to win is not to fight, right? That's what Lao Tzu, art of war.
It takes all the fun out of it, though.
it is much more fun to do it that way. But, you know, you're right. And I think a couple of things to always remember, and what provides me comfort, is anyone who went through Iniki, was blessed to have been here on September 11th, 1992, knows that we're 8 hours away and from 1777. You know, mm-hmm. all these buildings, everything is man-made. It's temporary, and it could easily go away. So nothing here is lost. We are in Kauai. We have not been exiled from the land that God gave us. We're here. And fundamentally, our rights as a Native Hawaiian, we never owned land, right? It was always predicated upon our ability to live on it and live off it. And that's where our power is from. It's not the paper. Most every title in the state is subject to the rights of Native tenants, right? I say most because Kuleana house lots are not. Those are the private house lots of Native Hawaiian. But
Which is actually pretty interesting. I don't want to get off track, but that's actually pretty interesting. If you have a Kuleana lot, it's much more restricted for you.
Oh yeah, to get one, you had to show exclusive ownership in during the Mahele. So,
yeah, only you.
Unlike the Konohiki land.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, Kuleana does not mean, you know, community, y'all come. It means exactly the opposite. It's interesting. It's interesting. We don't think of it that way commonly, but that's exactly what it is, right? So,
yeah, and exactly. Hawaiian culture was communal to an extent, but it was also very, you know, the resources were limited, and you did not go outside your aupua. You did not do certain things. I mean, that was wars were fought. Hundreds of lives were lost, you know, and heads were detached from shoulders. Or failure to stay on your side of the river.
I'm going to take a moment here and just reintroduce Mauna Kea Trask. This is Maka'ala and this is Pilikia or Pono. If you don't know what the words mean, look them up. I'm not going to tell you, look them up. Lukau, U-L-U-K-A-U, Google it. It's a great resource. Vehe Vehe, W-E-H-E, W-E-H-E. Use it. It's a great resource. Put it on your phone. And this is KKCR, our community radio station.
We have some community messages to play as well.
Okay, let's do a couple of sorry, Mana. We're going to interrupt for just a moment. And the boss lady says we're going to do these for a second.
The KKCR community calendar is announced at 7:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. every day. If you have an event or announcement you would like to include on the calendar, we need to have it at least 2 weeks in advance. If you want to submit an event, please go to kkcr.org and click Community Calendar. If you heard an event announced but didn't catch all of the information, please call the on-air programmer at 808-826-7771. Mahalo!
Hale Puna Farmers Market, every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. under the old monkey pod tree at 9567 Huaka'i Road in Waimea Town. Fresh fruits, vegetables, eggs, and specialty baked goods from Koke'e Lodge. Now accepting SNAP EBT and Da Bucks. More info at halepuna.org.
Kauai Concert Association presents Bon Bon Vivant, a jazz group from New Orleans. Concert will be held at the Luau Pavilion at the Sheraton Hotel in Kapa'a on Wednesday, May 17th, beginning at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online at kauai-concert.org.
Mahalo for reminding us about the things going on in our community. This is Maka'ala with Mauna Kea Trask, and this is Pilikia or Pono. If you don't know what it means, look it up. Google Ulukau, U-L-U-K-A-U. I'm not going to do the work for you. And we are doing this show on Wednesday morning, the second Wednesday of every month, each month, at 7 a.m. We do it at 7 a.m. because Mauna Kea and I both have jobs. And this is the time we have, and we appreciate you for listening. We know that you do because we get the emails and the texts saying, thank you for this. If you have an idea, something that you want to hear us discuss, you can call the radio station at 808-826-7774. Get the office and say, we would like Mauna Kea to discuss this, and we would like Maka'ala to stop interrupting him. We're happy to try and address it. We're doing this because a lot's going on in our community, and it's important that we understand what is and isn't. What we think is might not be is. What we think isn't might not be isn't. And it's important you have a clear understanding of the path forward. This is an active little place, a lot of stuff going on. And Mauna Kea tends to find himself in the thick of it these days. And we walk a fine line here because he is an actively practicing attorney with a heavy client load, and so he will disclose if we're discussing something that relates to his practice. But it won't keep us away from the tough stuff. We're happy to talk about the tough stuff. He and I have seen a lot of it, and we're happy to bring it forward. But if you'd like to hear something, a discussion about something else, or if you have a question, and you can call us here, 808-826-7771. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your questions. We appreciate you. Okay, this is our community radio station. Where else can you do this stuff, man? This is very, very cool. Okay, Mauna, I power interrupting you. Welcome to Community Radio.
Not at all, yeah. Imua, let's go.
Imua.
So, but yeah, you know, I just on that point, I think it's really important that all of this stuff is what it is. And in my experience, you know, and I do want to say that, you know, Kapa'akai, it's a very trendy phrase right now, and I'm glad that everyone's aware of it, of the case, and generally the process. But at the same time, it has been going on for a long time. And you mentioned Chair Chang earlier, now Chair Chang of DNR. She did a lot of work on this when she was a consultant less than a year ago, and prior to her confirmation. And she provided a lot of guidance, and it was really good that she did that. But prior to that, it's not. I want to make it clear that it's not like the Planning Commission or the Land Use Commission or anyone else who renders a permit takes action wasn't doing this process. Culture impact statements are Kapa'akai analyses and environmental EIS documents, EAs, they contain these analyses. Permit applications, you have to show this stuff. And a lot of times the government has to do their own independent analysis and evaluation, but permit applicants frequently do the best they can to do it. And it is a difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. David Malo in Mo'olelo Hawaii, which for some reason I think is one of the few books you can't get on Ulukau, unfortunately. But he wrote, this is in 1835, the traditions about the Hawaiian Islands handed down from remote antiquity are not entirely definite. There is much obscurity as to the facts, and the traditions themselves are not clear. Some of the matters reported are clear and intelligible, but the larger part are vague. Now remember, this was 1835. This is one of the first preeminent Native Hawaiian scholar to write this, educated at Lahaina Luna. And the reason why was because it was an oral society, right? It wasn't literate in that it had no letters or numbers. And so he says, faulty memory, let's see. When traditions are carried in the memory, it leads to contradictory versions. One set think the way they heard the story is true. Another set think theirs is true. And the third set very likely purposely falsify. Thus it comes to pass that the traditions are split up and made worthless. That's a powerful statement to say in the early 19th century. And so, just be aware that, and it's a delicate situation, but, our kupuna, my tutu was born in 1910. He passed in 2000s. But he knew a lot. He was there for a lot of it. But he was born in 1910. And if Malo says in 1835 that the traditions are not well known, well, you have to acknowledge that. And so that's why reading is so important. And you go on the internet, look at Ulukau, look at Papakilo, and even beyond that. I mean, the internet has done so much for Hawaiian scholarship because it gets these books in your hands that you can't find. Some of them are in like the Stanford Law Library. And it's incumbent upon everybody. If you really care about the resources, if you care about your culture, if you want to do the right thing, you have to do the homework. Again, like George Helms said, you got to do it. And there's a short book called Ho'i Ho'i Ho about George Helms. And it's a great book. And you can really get the impression that this guy from Molokai, a talented artist, an athlete, a passionate, spiritual person, did not shirk his duty to read. And we have to do that. Hawaiians were the most literate society shortly after the missionaries came in the 1820s. And we need to acknowledge that and get that back. I think nowadays education is not as prized as it was and it should be. And we're not going to get ahead as a people and as a nation being ignorant.
No, and there's no reason to sit back and say, well, the public school system, no, stop it, because you're responsible for your own education. It's not the government's job to educate you. You are responsible, and you parents, we all know as a parent, I was responsible for the education of my children. Period. Stop. And and now that we have the internet, oh my gosh, there's literally no excuses that I can think of. As long as you did learn how to read, and if you didn't learn how to read, there's help for that too. That's okay. I had friends 20 years ago that couldn't read at all, couldn't read a lick in contemporary times, but that's fixable. That's easily fixable. So it's
and to those who can read and they're super smart, you got to be humble too. You got to keep learning.
Yeah.
And this isn't to discount oral tradition. Listen to the kupuna. They do know what they're talking about. But what I'm saying is that when you're looking at a kapa'akai analysis and whether or not someone sincerely identifies the scope and existence of Native Hawaiian culture resources, it's not necessarily an easy thing. And just know that when a person, Hawaiian or not, comes up and claims something, check it. You know, it's like what, who said it? Trust but verify. Was that Reagan? I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping it was older than Reagan and that Reagan borrowed it from someone, but I suspect that people have been saying that for a while. Yes, trust but always verify. Cause
yeah.
Laura, did we have a call? And?
Yeah, we had a caller. And they didn't want to go on the air.
Okay.
But they had a question. They wanted to know, in Mauna's opinion, what is the highest and best use of cocoa palms?
Go, boy.
Oh, tune in. I don't know. Tune in to the Kauai County Council in about an hour. Let's see what that, hour 15 minutes?
Yeah, tune in. You can catch it live. You can catch it live. Go to the kauai.gov. And go to the webcast meetings, and you can watch the county council meeting live, and don't you know I do, and they will be talking about cocoa palms, but Laura's still looking at me like there was more to the question.
Well, his follow-up was, in your opinion, what's the best outcome of cocoa palms to benefit the community?
Who?
Why? Okay, so let me just say a
disclaimer.
This is not going to get me in trouble. So, highest and best use, it's a legal term of art, right? And so therefore you have to look at it in a legal context. Now, whatever anyone's individual opinion is, that is one thing. But when you look at highest and best use from a land use and zoning perspective, which that relates to, you first ask, what is the land use district? And as far as where the hotel lies, the land use district is urban. And so everyone should know that from the north bank of the Wailua River all the way to the south bank of the Kealia River is zoned state land use urban district. All right. Whether you agree with that or not, it's what it is. It's on the map. It's district map K-10 of the Department of Planning and Economic Development, the effective date, December 20th, 1974.
Can you tell he's been working on this?
and then thereafter, right, because Hawaii has a dual land use system, what is the county zoning? Because in state land use urban, that doesn't necessarily mean that all urban uses are allowed. What you do is within the urban district, state law says that all the land use and zoning depends upon what the county zones it. So there are urban spaces, and indeed, for example, the coconut grove. In behind cocoa palms, the state parcel is in the state land use urban district, but it is zoned county open, right, which is a more restrictive land use. When you look at the hotel proper, it's zoned county resort RR20, right?
And RR20 means 20 units per acre?
I'm gonna look it up. It's a good question.
I mean, that's the way it works in other areas, but I'm not sure that resort lines up with that. So, okay, honestly.
Yeah, the thing about being a lawyer is that you don't know, a lot of people do know by rote, but there's so much to know. But the benefit is knowing where to look, right? Hold on, let me see.
And Mauna has a
resort
magic
district.
Phone.
Okay, so RR20, the number portion of the resort district density establishes the maximum number of dwelling units, including hotel and motel rooms, that may be permitted per acre of land in each district, except that each hotel and motel room shall be considered as one half of one dwelling unit in computing the allowable number of dwelling units.
So it could be 40.
There is your... Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's one half, then RR, and I don't understand the RR, but at any rate, 20 units per acre if they were full dwelling units, but hotel and motel are considered each room half, because small, yeah? So
yeah, you don't have a kitchen, right? It's a famous kitchen.
Yeah, the famous kitchen. Okay, so which is why we never get good kitchens in hotels anymore. Okay, so that essentially would mean 40 per acre. So that would be, in fact, that would be the highest, best use. Not the definition of the word best that you and I like, but that's, you know, what is the most intense use that you could use this place for? And that seems to be it, or close to it, for whatever the size of the RR piece is. So it's not the whole
piece.
That's correct. And
RR, that's resort, and versus residential is single R.
Right.
So that's where you get the RR person.
Okay. That tells us that it's resort use, and that tells us to double the 20. Got it. Simple math. We can do this. Okay. All right. That yeah, it is a thing. So
what was
that's
the other question?
That's a potential. Well, that was the follow-up. The first,
okay.
And what you think would be the best? They were asking your opinion. What you think? Is
I'm going to demur.
I'm going to demur on that because he's not allowed to have an opinion on that right now. I'll have an opinion. I think that if you have a piece of land, and I don't care where it is, and it has special resources on it, it does not mean nobody go. Nobody be. In my world, it means you have to have access and you have to have somebody there to take care of it. This is how we get fields of guinea grass, folks. It's not, you know, that doesn't work. So whatever becomes of this piece of land, I certainly personally hope that it means that somebody is there taking care. Somebody got to open the gate. Somebody got to, you know, we're learning in so many places. Lepa'uli is one. There are many others that managed access preserves resources. You can't just open the floodgate and let everybody in because bad stuff happens and resources are depleted. So in my opinion, that would be the best use of it. But my opinion counts for less than zilch here. My concern about all of that is that we do the appropriate kapa'akai, that we do the appropriate cultural inventory assessment, CIA, that we do the appropriate environmental assessment. And I want to say here, because I sit on the State Environmental Council and we review Chapter 343 and we just did rules, that I fought hard, and may I say won, to retain the ability of oral testimony. It was difficult because the state really said, this is just onerous. This is too hard because, you know, Auntie Makala wants to stand up there and talk about, you know, the cost of spam, and she doesn't even want to be on the subject, and we don't want to sit there and listen to her. And I said, you have to. And furthermore, you have to record it digitally. So our oral statements used to be recorded by court reporter. Most of them are just fabulous. But there's a potential for error when somebody's talking, somebody's listening, somebody's typing. Now, in the law, it says that oral testimony will be digitally recorded and that digital recording becomes part of that file. And so what I'm hoping is that in the future, we'll have the gold that is mined from some of those testimonies. You know, when the kupuna stepped up and said, you know, this is what we did here, we'll know that. You know, it'll be part of the process. So it wasn't just to be obstreperous and make the process more difficult. It was to preserve what these people had to say, because they're not going to write it. They're not going to stand up there with a prepared speech. They're not. And I don't want them to. First of all, it takes away all the magic of listening to the voice, right? And the wonder of the lilt and the sound and the emotion and the tears and all of that. It's all part of it. This isn't just a paper process. Sorry, Mana. I know this is your show.
No. It's,
and off I go on another path down.
Yeah, and I mean, people have opinions. That's the beauty of it. And,
yeah.
You know, and if you look, I mean, everyone knows Hawaii and Hawaiian culture up to 1777. We all were taught it. That's the easiest part of the history. What we don't know is the 19th century, which I think is the most pivotal. That's where you learn everything. That's when you understand how we got here today and why we're here. And then if you look at Hawaiians of the 19th century, who are no less Hawaiian than those pre-contact, it is not, again, you can't assume that Hawaiians were a certain way or Hawaiian culture was a certain way. There were Hawaiians that clear-cut ali'i, who ordered all the makainana to clear-cut sandalwood, leading to devastation of the population, right?
Yeah.
Hawaiians, liholiho keopulani, heba heba kahumanu, broke the aikapu. It wasn't the missionaries, right? It was us. And Kapiulani stood before Halema'uma'u and with the Bible to Pele and defied her. And so you can't say that this romantic Hawaiian exists that is a certain way. I think that's misguided. A lot of Hawaiians, you know, they support development that it surprises people. But hey, they work construction. You know, they work hotels. They like it.
They want the jobs. They want the jobs.
Yeah. And, you know, like in this idea about, you know, a lot of people have opinions about diverting water. And I'm not going to say your opinion is right or wrong. But if you look at Hawaiian tradition and culture, look at Kalalau. I mean, the whole thing is diverted. Look at Hanalei. They divert water. Endangered species, you know. I mean, taro farmers got to eat. And I know, I'm not going to say their names, but Hawaiians, when they fish, if the seal's around, hey, you know what I mean? You got to protect, you got to feed your family.
It's a competitor like any other competitor.
Yeah. It's a complex thing, and so we can't, and I think this is the issue, getting to it. It's never a simple development, right? It's complexity, and it's nuance, and it's being intellectually honest and having morals and ethics with your opinion. Because who's to say that Native Hawaiians were against seawalls? Loko ia are seawalls, right? Hulihe'e Palace is protected by a seawall. Various things, and even to, and you know, endangered species. I mean, we both know, like you said, we've been working together on both sides of issues for a long time. Birds was a huge thing on the west side, and a lot of Hawaiians and local people had a different opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and these aren't necessarily good or bad; they are opinions, and everyone has a chance to say something within the bounds of the law, but I think everyone should be intellectually honest and approach it that way.
And do a little bit of the work, as Helms said. Do the work. Do the work. Do the work. And because because the birds is a good example. When we were doing Newell Sherwell, we're always doing Newell Sherwaters. People came publicly and said, "Wait a minute. I was just on Oahu. I was at a football game, and there's all these silly black and white birds circling overhead. There's thousands of shearwaters. What's the problem?" Well, it was a different shearwater. So do your work. Do the work. First, identify what bird you're talking about here. Do they look alike? Of course they do, but they're not the same. One is in trouble, and one is in a little bit of trouble. So you're talking about Makuene Point. It's the wedge-tailed shearwater that's the issue there, right? Because they're down in the bushes in the coastline. So, by the way, folks, if you walk your dogs at Makuene Point, it's not a free-for-all down there. That's the bird home. So, you know, put your dog on a leash and pick up their poop. It's easy to do. You know, it's easy to do. And it's the respectful thing to do. Anyway, okay, we've got a few minutes left, and we're going to wind this up. And I am so grateful, Mauna. Thank you. I realize that you're going to fly out of the office and go over to the county council. Everybody tune in, kauai.gov. Click on webcast meetings, and the county council comes up, pop, live. It's an amazing thing. You can do it on your phone. And it'll be a a Cocoa Palms discussion. We can't wait. And we want to, okay, so Mana, wind it up, and then I'll thank Laura Christine for rising with the sun and the roosters and the birds.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Auntie. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, everybody. And I think that fundamentally, I just want to say that, you know, in Olelo No'eau, one of the supreme metaphors in the Hawaiian culture is the va, right? And we all have our seats in the canoe. And I think that even though we have differences of opinion, we all have a place and we all have a voice. But ultimately, we're a community, and we need to work together. A canoe, you know, there's rules to it. Uncle Dirge and Uncle Rick Ham Young taught me, like, you listen to the steersman. You know, two calls, you know, one sets the stroke, etc. But we're all going to the same place. We all need to live together. And let's conduct ourselves with respect, appreciate other people's differences of opinion. I mean, like, you and I are a perfect example. We frequently disagree. But I look forward to talking to you all the time, because it's challenging. Because I know that you're honest with your opinions, and you do your research and you do your work. And when we disagree, there's no fight to be had. You don't think I'm an evil person. I don't think you are. And I think that's what we need to kind of get more back to. And I don't know whether it's social media or whatever, but you know, Kauai, we're all here together. Wherever you come from, we've all come from someplace. Landis just came from the Marquesas, you know, depending between 300 or 100 AD, depending on what anthropological study you're doing. But it's all flock and jetson. We're all coming and going, you know. And so, thank you all. Aloha to you all. And see you soon.
Yeah, and tune in. Mahalo, Mauna. And we will see you next month, the second Wednesday at 7 a.m. for Pilikia Opono, and we thank you all for listening, and we thank KKCR for this opportunity, and we thank our underwriters, and we encourage you. When would you ever hear this? Come on, folks, on your way to work, this is too cool. You have the chance to call in and ask questions, etc. Support community radio. We don't do this in a vacuum, and we don't do this without paying the light bills. So it's all volunteer. I'm a volunteer. Never been paid by this station. Never asked to be paid by this station. Don't want to play by their rules, so I don't take their money. So, you know, there's that. But this is Makala thanking you for listening, and you can find this show on the kkcr.org, ORG archives.